Good morning, and welcome in the name of Christ. We are so glad that you have joined us for this morning's message. Today's text comes from the book of Zephaniah, chapter 3, verses 14 through 20. Well, last Sunday was the third Sunday of Advent, and so we lit the rose candle, the candle in our Advent wreath that stands for joy. So let me ask, what does joy look like? How would you define it? How would you describe it? Is it a mother holding her newborn? Is it the shout of a fan when his team scores a touchdown? Is it the amazed scream of a person who finds out that they are holding a winning lottery ticket? Is it the squeal of a young child on Christmas morning when she unwraps the very thing she asked Santa to bring her? Joy is an interesting emotion. And while joy often accompanies happiness, it is not the same. It is rather tough to put into words and even more difficult to define. Yet, when you see it, it's unmistakable. And when you experience it, it's unforgettable. We've all experienced it. So how would you describe it? Well, there are always a few Scrooges among us that try to take away our Christmas joy this time of the year. Most people would say that this is their favorite holiday, and most people consider Christmas to be the most joyous time of the year. Christmas and joy just seem to go together like peanut butter and jelly or peas and carrots. I have heard that there are some who are searching for a universal sign for joy. I believe there's an emoji for joy, but if you had to pick a sign to represent joy, what would it be? What would it look like? Some folks have suggested it should be the dollar sign. After all, this sign is universally known throughout most of the world, and most people already associate the dollar sign with joy, don't they? So much of what we do at Christmas time is connected to the dollar, isn't it? For many folks, their Christmas joy is usually found in shopping and buying the best gifts they can afford for their family and friends. So much of what we do at our Christmas celebrations is related to money, isn't it? For better or for worse, our culture has made the Christmas celebration to be all about buying gifts and giving. And according to all the advertising that we are bombarded with at this season of the year, you can't have Christmas unless it involves buying gifts. If you don't believe me, then tell your kids or your grandkids that Santa won't be bringing any fun gifts this year. He's just going to hand out socks and underwear and see what kind of a response you get. Think about the average American's relationship to money. Children learn from us at a very early age the value of a dollar. Want to put a smile on a kid's face? Pull out a dollar and offer it to them and see what kind of a reaction you get. And if you really want to get a joyful shout of glee, pull out a $100 bill and offer it to a teenager. Think about how someone who knew nothing of our Christmas traditions would interpret how they see the average American family celebrating it. They might be led to believe that Christmas joy is unwrapping a new Xbox One or some diamond earrings, stuffing yourself with Christmas cookies and eggnog. Think about that. If we invited a guest over for our Christmas gathering who knew nothing about our Christmas traditions, what impression of Christmas would they be left with? Would they see the real reason for our joy at our Christmas celebrations? Would they hear about the reason for the holiday to begin with? Would they leave with the understanding that the reason for all this joyful celebration is about the birth of Jesus Christ? Or would they leave with the belief that Christmas is all about Santa Claus, parties, and presents under a Christmas tree? There is a different view of joy that the prophet Zephaniah gives us than the superficial one we see in the malls and on TV. It is a view of joy that is disconnected from our culture's symbols of status and success that we so often see depicted during this holiday season. It's not about lights and decorations, or shopping and the gifts we receive. Now, don't misunderstand me. I love Christmas and all of the sometimes strange and wacky ways we celebrate it. And it's not to say that there is anything wrong with Christmas parties or the giving of gifts. Receiving gifts is great. Giving them is even better. Money and possessions give us a sense of security, even if it is only temporary. These things help us to feel at peace and give us a sense of stability, blessing, and fulfillment. They can bring us a great deal of pleasure and satisfaction. But that's not joy, at least not in the biblical understanding of it. Let me ask, how many of you could just pick up your Bible this morning and turn right to the book of Zephaniah? Now be honest. How many of you would have to turn to the front of your Bible and look in the list of contents to see where to find it? Well, that simply proves my point. Zephaniah is one of those underread and underappreciated Old Testament prophets. He wrote some 600 years before the coming of the Messiah, during the reign of King Josiah. In the first part of his book, he begins with a brutally honest reminder to the Israelites that they need to turn away from the earthly gods they have been running after. He warns them that if they fail to do so, that one day the temporary joys that they have been chasing after will fade away, and the day of judgment will suddenly be upon them. Then it will be time for God to judge them. But in his closing words, he gives them a glimpse of the future and of the true joy that will be visited upon his people. There is a day coming when God will no longer deal harshly with his people and will no longer hold their sins against them. He talks about a day that is coming when a new king will come into the midst of his people. When this day comes, the sin that separates them from God will have been erased and will no longer be remembered by God. There will be a day, Zephaniah says, when men and women will sing aloud and shout, where they will be glad and rejoice with all their hearts. What we now know is that the day of true joy and of God's forgiveness came to earth when Jesus was born. The joy, true joy, that comes from knowing that the Lord God is with you and that he is mighty to save. It comes from knowing that God himself delights in you and that he will rejoice over you with singing. Chapter 3, verse 17. The real reason joy is so essential to the Christian celebration is because with Jesus' arrival, God tells us that those days of joy that Zephaniah told his people about have come to pass. With Jesus' birth, the King has come into our midst, and our sins are now forever removed from us. This is the fundamental message of the Christian faith, that through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, God's Son, God the Father has forgiven and forgotten all of our sins. But the truth about joy is that so much of what we do at Christmas, what we label as life joys, are really just temporary pleasures. Those moments we so fondly remember spent with family and friends gathered around the Christmas tree, well, they will one day fade away. The toy will break. We'll get bored with that new game, and that new outfit will become outdated. Many people feel that the commercialization of Christmas, this emphasis on spending money and buying gifts, has ruined the Christmas holiday. Billy Graham once stated that if a person gets his attitude toward money straight, it will help straighten out almost every other area of his life. I believe that's very true. To truly experience Christmas joy, we must develop the right attitude toward money and possessions so that we might escape the trappings of our materialistic culture that are so prevalent during this holiday season. If we fail to capture the true meaning of Christmas, then our joy will be fleeting and it will not last. We all need that light bulb moment when the truth hits us, when we finally comprehend the joy that Christmas brings to us and the significance of the event that we are celebrating. I can think of several good examples of these light bulb moments. We can cite Dickens's classic story, The Christmas Carol, when Scrooge finally gets the Christmas spirit. And when he does, he experiences joy. We can see it in the popular movie, It's a Wonderful Life, when banker George Bailey finally understands how significant his life has been. And the result, again, is an outpouring of joy. But my favorite moment would be to draw on one of America's wisest philosophers and poets, Dr. Seuss. At the moment when the Grinch finally understands that there is more to Christmas joy than decorations and gifts and feasting, as he hears the distant joyful singing wafting up to him on the breeze from Whoville on Christmas morning. And the Grinch, with his Grinch feet ice cold in the snow, stood puzzling and puzzling. How could it be so? It came without ribbons. It came without tags. It came without packages, boxes, or bags. And he puzzled 3 hours till his puzzler was sore. Then the Grinch thought of something he hadn't before. Maybe Christmas, he thought, doesn't come from a store. Maybe Christmas, perhaps, means a little bit more. It is when we come to the true realization of what Christmas means to us that we can then experience true Christmas joy, and not just the superficial pleasures that come from gift-giving and participating in all the Christmas gatherings and family traditions, but lasting joy, because God took on human form and came to be among us. This is the joy that Zephaniah speaks of for his people, that they will no longer be under the law and subject to judgment, but will instead be under grace. This is God's precious gift to us. When we understand the importance of the incarnation and what it means to us, that is when we can truly experience the joy of the Christmas holiday season. If we have accepted God's Christmas gift to us, the gift of forgiveness through the work of Jesus Christ, then we will have caught on to this joy. This is the kind of joy that is lasting, and it cannot be taken away from us by life circumstances or by anything else that happens to us. As we celebrate this Christmas season, may we join with Zephaniah in singing, because the days of joy he spoke of have now truly come to pass. And when we have experienced that joy, it should give us the desire to pass on that joy to others. For you can only experience the true joy of Christmas if you have experienced the Savior of Christmas. As we draw ever closer to our Christmas celebrations, let us try to infect as many people as we can with the Christmas spirit as we go about our Christmas preparations, and let them see our Christmas joy, so that we may be salt and light. Amen.